Well, welcome to Local Matters. Today we are talking about education matters in the Upper Cumberland, and my guest is Dr. Jeff Roberts, the chairman of the History Department at Tennessee Tech University, and someone who also serves in a special role at Tech as faculty athletics representative. So, Jeff, welcome.
Thank you, Bob. It's good to be here.
Well, it's good to have you back on the program. Before we get started, tell everybody just a little bit about yourself.
Well, I've moved to Cookeville in 1991 after I got my doctorate at The Ohio State University. I've been here with the History Department ever since. Married my wife, Jane, who's from Jackson County. We are proud residents of Cookeville. I'm very proud of my department and my university.
Well, you do some great work at the university and in Cookeville, and so does your wife, Jane. So we appreciate you spending a little time with us. You are chair of an outstanding department at the university. That's an editorial from my part, but it's really a good department. So tell us a little bit about the history department.
Well, there are about 15 of us all together. We teach everything from the ancient world up to modern affairs. We're very active in service roles. We have been for a long time. We reach out to our community. We serve the university. We also sponsor a series of lectures, which we provide to our students in the community. We've got a big event coming up on the 7th. It's the Womack series, it's called. It was sponsored by Chuck Womack, our former mayor in mm-hmm. Cookeville. And Dr. Womack has endowed our series. We have Bill Landry coming in this Thursday. He's going to talk about when the West was Tennessee. Many of you probably are aware of him from the Heartland series that he did for a long time, and we're expecting a big crowd.
Oh, it sounds like a great program.
It's free. It's open to the public. It starts at 6:30. We hope to see you there.
What other kind of programs do you do in a given year?
Well, we do a spring lecture series as well. That's our Winchester lecture series, and we've been doing that for over 10 years now. We also work together with the Department of Sociology and Political Science to do a program every Constitution Day, roughly around September 17th. That's sponsored by Nolan Fowler, who was a former professor in our department.
And also a great student-athlete.
Yes, he was.
And a coach, I think, at one point in his life.
He even stayed a great athlete through his senior years. He won the senior Olympics in the hammer throw.
Wow.
Yeah, amazing guy.
Yeah, not everybody gets into a hammer throw, and my wife does it about once a year at me, but I probably shouldn't say that. It is great that... You know, I knew Nolan Fowler, and it is great that they have established this Fowler lecture series.
Absolutely. We appreciate it greatly.
And there also are other series done by other departments, so there's always something going on at Tech, it seems.
Sure. But
it's exciting to see these kind of programs, and they enrich the students, but they also enrich the community. So anytime the community can...
Absolutely.
Come to one of these, they're free, and it's always interesting.
I was talking this morning about the Stone Cipher lecture series.
Right.
The new director of the Water Center called me just to get some information about that. That one goes back two decades.
And Harry Stone Cipher from Jamestown or from the Fentress County area, I guess. Scott County, Fentress County, I've forgotten. But he got a physics degree at Tech and then went on to work at General Electric, and then became president of McDonnell Douglas, and then CEO of the Boeing Corporation. So Tech alumni go to great places sometimes.
That's a very impressive resume there, for sure.
And Harry thought about his alma mater and decided not to put in lectureship in physics. He did something else with his focus.
Yes.
And thought the social sciences was really important for and the humanities for students. So we're indebted to Harry. He still comes back to campus every now and then, and it's always good to see him. Mm-hmm. Well, we want to focus a little bit today on student athletes and on your role. You've got a really pivotal role at Tennessee Tech in working with student-athletes, but you represent the faculty and advise the faculty and advise the athletics department from those perspectives. So talk about what the FAR, the faculty athletics representative, does.
The FAR does a lot of things. And some days I'll come to work not knowing exactly what it is I'm going to be doing that day. It changes very rapidly. I'll tell you right off the bat, the thing that I love the most is being involved with honoring our student athletes who truly excel. And I just found out today that we had a winner of a major award. Unfortunately, I have to keep it a secret for now. The conference is going to announce this in about a week or so, but be looking for that. Very proud of our student-athletes when they achieve at those high levels. That's a wonderful thing. There are times when it's a challenging role. I tend to be the first person who gets called if there's some sort of issue. I do chair an appeals committee, and in fact, I was putting one of those together this morning as well. We do look to be fair to our student athletes. I have three broad roles at the FAR. If I try to narrow it down, one of them is student athlete welfare. We always want to keep that paramount. We always want to make sure we are fair. There are lots of rules that help us along that path, and I'm one of the people who tries to enforce that. In addition to that, my job is also to make sure we maintain what's called institutional control, which means that we're running our own athletics department, that nobody else is telling us what to do, and that we're running it on the up and up. Lastly, my job is to maintain academic integrity, to make sure that our students are truly getting an education, to make sure they're getting the education they want, to make sure that we afford them the same opportunities that we would afford regular students who aren't athletes.
And student athletes, they are a regular student in many ways, but boy, they've got a second job that takes a lot of their time too.
It does. It requires at least 20 hours a week to be a student athlete. Truth be told, there's generally more to it than that.
Yeah.
20 hours is what the NCAA maintains as a minimum, but a lot of them put in extra effort to try to get a jump on the competition, so to speak. That's one thing we have to watch out for, is to make sure they're maintaining the proper balance between their studies and their athletic pursuits.
Because they typically love their athletic focus.
They absolutely do.
So sometimes more than their academic focus, but... But we also have some shining stars that we can talk about. This is Local Matters. We are talking to Dr. Jeff Roberts, the chairman of the History Department and the faculty athletics representative at Tennessee Tech University. Jeff, you interact a lot with the NCAA, and I know you referred to the rule book, and NCAA rules seems like they're twice as long as the Bible and much more detailed in some ways. And a lot of them focus on compliance. So talk about student-athlete issues that particularly come up with the NCAA.
I think the one that probably comes up the most is the issue of what are called extra benefits. And that is, we have to be careful. We're giving our students scholarships, we're giving them room and board, but we have to make sure that they're not getting anything beyond that. That's difficult sometimes when you have loyal fans who sometimes just want to be nice.
Yep.
And this is beyond any quote-unquote booster who's, you know, has something up his sleeve, but sometimes you just run into issues where an honest person makes an honest mistake, and we take pride in reporting that kind of thing. Sometimes it requires the student athlete make a little bit of restitution. That's fine. We're happy to work with charities to make that as valuable as it can be. But NCAA rules, they've been put there by the member institutions.
Correct.
But like any rule book, even like the U.S. Constitution, sometimes the rules are going to be hard to interpret. Sometimes they're going to raise unintended consequences. And it's up to us to sort it all out. generally, there's a lot of logic to them. Another one that seems to come up a lot is there are rules that prohibit us, including myself, from gambling on sports. Now, it's limited to only NCAA-sponsored sports. So, for example, I could go bet on NASCAR because the NCAA doesn't sponsor auto racing. But I can't bet on baseball.
It would have been an exciting series if you had, right?
Well, if you bet against the home team, which I have to admit was incredibly unusual. But not only can I not bet on Major League Baseball, I couldn't bet on Minor League Baseball or NCAA Baseball or even Little League Baseball. It's prohibited for anyone associated with the NCAA to do that. And I appreciate that. I think it's probably saved me money over the course of my 13 years as an FAR. But again, sometimes we have issues come up along those lines that we have to deal with.
This is Local Matters, and we're talking to Dr. Jeff Roberts, the faculty athletic representative at Tennessee Tech University. We're going to take a very quick break.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
And we are back. We are talking to Jeff Roberts, the chairman of the Department of History and the faculty athletic representative at Tennessee Tech. Jeff, talk about the different sports that Tennessee Tech students play.
There are 14 of them. If I can run down the list right now, of course, we have football going on, volleyball and soccer are in season. In fact, good luck to soccer today in their playoff game. And men's cross country, men's and women's cross country are both actually at their conference tournament this weekend as well. In the winter, we have men's and women's basketball.
And they're just about to launch now in November, aren't they?
They had their first exhibition game on Tuesday. And yes, they are. Season is gearing up for them. Indoor track also counts as a winter sport, although it comes very, very almost back-to-back with outdoor track. In the spring, we have baseball and softball. We have men's and women's golf, although they have some fall tournaments as well now. And then we have men's tennis. I know, Bob, that you're a big tennis fan.
I played men's tennis in college.
And they have, I mean, if there's one team that's been on a roll in terms of championships,
amen.
Men's tennis has done it four times in a row now.
they are a talented group of young men in this case. You talked earlier a bit about some of the challenges that the student athlete faces. It's a much higher hurdle rate or set of expectations for them. They have things like APRs and GSRs that are a bit different than the average student. So talk about the progress rates and the graduation success and other NCAA guidance.
Mm-hmm. The NCAA wants to make sure that student-athletes graduate. There was a time when a number of schools seemed to be bringing students in, using them up as long as they were eligible, and then sending them out without a degree. The NCAA has attempted to put a stop to that in part by connecting financial incentives to high graduation rates. Starting this year, the NCAA is going to be awarding substantial sums of extra funding to universities who meet one of three potential targets for graduation success. You mentioned there are a lot of different numbers out there, what they try to do is measure progress at a semester-by-semester basis. making sure that the students are making adequate progress towards their degrees, and deducting from that when students fail to meet a minimum or drop out of school or those sorts of things. And ultimately, that's what APR and GSR relate to, is this cumulative total of numbers of all the students from our teams on a per-semester basis.
So it's progress towards graduation, not just taking some courses, but they've got to be courses toward a major.
Right.
And then there's the graduation success rate, the GSR.
Yeah, they have to declare a major by the time they're juniors. And there are some basic rules. They have to pass at least 6 hours every semester. They have to pass essentially 24 every year. That can include summer. And you're right, they have to be directed towards some kind of degree. There are lots and lots of extra rules about transferring courses and moving from one institution to another. And Tennessee Tech, I've got to put in a plug here for my colleague Nancy Green. But Nancy is our certification officer at Tech, and she is the unsung hero of the department in keeping track of all of those regulations, really from the time they enter as high school applicants to the time that they walk across the stage.
Yeah, it is amazing to watch people like Nancy and all the work they keep up with on behalf of that student to sort of keep them out of the ditches as they go through the program.
Right, and we have a great athletic advising department, too, that meets with the students on a regular basis, that keeps track of their progress during the semester, that takes action to remediate a situation. If a student is struggling, for example, they might get them a tutor or connect them with a study group to try and make sure that our student-athletes succeed. And they do succeed on a higher rate than the average student body, a substantially higher rate.
Now, these student-athletes travel a lot, so they're up early in the morning for practices. They spend their weekends for the university. They do a lot of things that consume their time, don't they?
They absolutely do. In fact, when you poll them as to what other things they might want, free time tends to be the thing they ask for first. That they sometimes feel like they just don't have enough time to just chill.
Yeah.
Because there are so many activities in the course of their day.
And it's challenging on a student. There's no question about that. This is Local Matters, and we are talking to Dr. Jeff Roberts, the faculty athletics representative and the chairman of the history department at Tennessee Tech University. And Jeff, we ought to, something I always tried to remind our faculty of and remind other people in the community, these students don't major in athletics. They major in some of the hardest subjects at the university sometimes.
The last time I looked through all the list, we had 57 different majors among our roughly 300 student athletes. And yes, all of the challenging ones are represented. There are some concentrations. There are a few more who major in business. I know you don't mind that a bit.
Not a bit.
There are also quite a few who major in exercise science, which you would expect from people who love athletics.
Many of them will go on into coaching or some other teaching profession. Yeah.
But we make sure to give them the opportunities to pursue the major they want. That can be a challenge if to some of the fields that have demanding lab schedules, like nursing or electrical engineering. We find ways to make that happen, and the departments tend to be really good about working with us, working with student-athletes to make a schedule whereby they can participate and still get their coursework done.
Yeah, it's fun to see the faculty at the games, and you notice it more in basketball because you're closer to the floor than in football, but some of the faculty in some of the toughest disciplines are there cheering on some of their students.
Absolutely. I always see a lot of folks from mechanical engineering, physics, business management, so forth.
Yeah, they do. And we've had some, I guess, noteworthy student athletes who've majored in electrical or computer engineering and then gone on to be an astronaut or gone on to be commander of the International Space Station. And you know I'm talking about Butch Wilmore, so tell us a little bit about Butch Wilmore.
Well, Barry, Butch Wilmore was our captain of our football team back in the mid-80s, As you mentioned, went on to success, tremendous success in the NASA astronaut program, and was nominated and won the NCAA's Most Distinguished Award, the Theodore Roosevelt Award, which honors a student athlete for career achievement. First school in the OVC to do that. Incredible honor for Mr. Wilmore and for Tech. I mean, he had his induction ceremony in Indianapolis just a couple years ago.
And Butch Wilmore has just been a pathfinder. Again, he went out of Tech and joined the Navy and was a Navy fighter pilot and test pilot. Mm-hmm. Then went into the astronaut corps and flew, commanded the space shuttle on several missions, and then went to be commander of the International Space Station. He, first person the NCAA has recognized in this way with the Roosevelt Award in a long time. Certainly the first person in the OVC seen that.
Actually, no, he's one of three astronauts. The other two are John Glenn and Sally Ride.
Not bad company.
Absolutely not.
Not bad company. And Captain Wilmore, he's a Navy captain now, still in the astronaut corps, but he also serves on the Tennessee Tech Board of Regents now. So I see him sometimes when he comes to the Regents meeting, and it's always just a great reunion. But when he was in space, back when he was commanding one of the shuttle missions, he did a downlink to middle school students. We were lucky enough to host that at Tennessee Tech. You remember it well. What did he show up with? He showed up with a football, and they were wearing
purple and gold.
Purple and gold jerseys, and the entire group of astronauts that were on the downlink had on Tennessee Tech jerseys.
Yeah.
And Butch taught a science course while he was there, taught a relative motion thing with a football. So he really does dearly love his football background.
He loves his university, too. I remember the download he did for a graduation ceremony not too long ago where he wished all the graduates well from space. Certainly a very special thing.
That's a pretty special thing. And we should point out he was the first recipient, one of two first recipients, both astronauts, of Tennessee Tech honorary doctoral degrees. So Roger Crouch and Butch Wilmore have both been named honorary doctorates from Tennessee Tech. Well, we've just about got to wrap this program up. This is Education Matters, and we're talking to Dr. Jeff Roberts about faculty athletics representative issues. And one of those issues, Jeff, we'll sort of end with this, but what does institutional control really mean?
It means that we as a university are taking steps to ensure that we follow the rules. It means that we're taking an active role to educate our personnel, that we're taking an active role in following up and supervising and occasionally spot checking. It's a more active word than it might seem on the surface. It's not just about keeping foreign folks out of the loop, but also it's about making sure that we're running the ship the way it's meant to be run.
And if it's done well, then the NCAA sort of respects that institution and lays off a little bit.
They do. I firmly believe the NCAA respects honesty. I know the conference does. I've talked to our conference officials. And again, sometimes we report really minor violations because they were violations. And, if we have to make restitution of $29, I had a recent one that was the case. we do that.
Yes.
And that honesty does create a sense of confidence among the people you work with.
Well, it's been an honor to have you on Local Education Matters, and we look forward to having you back, and also look forward to that announcement over the next few weeks of another great Tennessee Tech student athlete.
There will be one coming up. Look forward to it.
That's great. Jeff, thank you for being here today.
Thank you, Bob. I enjoyed it.